On Tuesday, I ended my lecture giving you the definition of a differentiable function of a point. I was very fast, so I will restate it now with a slower pace. Sorry. Okay. We have the function. We have a point in Rn, x bar. We say that the function is differentiable if there exists a linear function such that this equality holds. However, I take a vector v, which you can consider a perturbation of the point x bar. The value of f at x plus v can be written in this way, which is the value at x bar plus the linear function computed in v, which is the difference between this vector and this vector, plus some residual. Okay? So it's not exact inequality, in fact some residual, which has this property. The residual goes to zero faster than the norm of its argument. Okay? So it could be the norm of V power 1 plus something, power 2 or so on. Okay? The residual is generally unknown. Okay? Such a linear function is called the differential of f at a given point. And please notice that this linear function depends not only on the on the differentiable function we are having, but also on the point we are considering. And the same is true also for the residual. Okay, I will briefly recall to those who forgot that the linear function is a function which has this property. Whenever you take real numbers alpha and beta and vectors x and y in Rn, the value of the linear function at the linear combination of the two points is the same linear combination of the two values. Okay? But the thing which is most relevant to us is that in Rn, linear functions are all of these forms. There is a vector R, L in Rn, such that the linear function is the scalar product of L with the variable v. Okay? So, this is what you expect. L1 V1 plus L2 V2 plus Ln Vn. Okay? Linear function means that you can find a vector of coefficients such that the function is written in this way. Let's go back to our definition of differentiable functions. If v is small, is a very small vector, this quantity is small. Okay? So, the differentiable means that the way in which f changes around x bar, okay, is the value of the point plus a linear function of the perturbation up to a small mistake. Okay? So this is a linear function plus a constant value, this is an affine function by definition. Okay? So it means that around, if you are close enough to x bar, you can roughly approximate this value with f at x bar plus LFT. Okay?
One other way
to look at this is fix some, consider B to be X minus X bar, and you substitute. What you get is F of X is roughly F of X bar plus this linear term computed in X minus X bar.
And this is a good approximation if this vector is very small, is close to zero. Okay? This is a notation to denote that this vector is close to zero. Okay? Its norm is very small. Okay? I remember that this is a linear function, so this somehow is L transpose X minus X bar for some appropriate L, okay?
I give you a geometric interpretation. I'm not good at drawing, so I'm doing the easiest example you can imagine with N equal 1. Okay? N equals 1, I will draw you a graph of a function. F. Okay. Now, let's consider... Okay. This point, X bar, this is F at X bar. Okay?
Linear function means that the graph of this function is a function of X is a line. Okay?
And actually is the tangent line here. Okay? So, the set of points X at X bar plus the differential X minus X bar as X values in Rn,
okay,
is the tangent hyperplane at the graph of the function in Rn plus 1. Okay? This is the tangent to the graph of F at, no, sorry, the tangent to the graph of F at, yes, X bar, and I remember that the graph is in Rn plus 1,
because the graph is the pair, so point value of the function.
So, n equal 1, we are in R2, this is the graph, and this is the tangent hyperplane. Okay? Okay, we introduced this concept of differentiability because we were not satisfied with directional derivatives. We were not satisfied with directional derivatives because we realized that a function could have all the directional derivative in each direction while being not continuous. Okay? This is false for n equal 1 if a function is different, is as a derivative at a point, it is continuous at that point, but we showed through an example that it is false in Rn, because in R you have just one direction, you can go this way or the opposite way, while in Rn you have infinite directions, okay? And so you can build that example. This cannot happen if a function is differentiable. This is the right concept to guarantee continuity.
and we have this result. Suppose f is differentiable at a point x bar in a ring.
Okay. Then we have a few properties.
First property, f is continuous at x bar.
Okay. Really? Okay.
Take this exact formula here plus the rest. Okay. And take the limit as x goes to x bar. Okay.
This goes to zero. This goes to zero, so this is a residual, and zero should be zero.
So this goes to zero,
and this is fixed. So the limit is f at x bar, which is the definition of continuity. Okay. Indeed, in my note, the proof is saying just apply the definition, take v equal to this, and take the limit. Okay? Nothing more than that. Second property. And here we are starting to get to interesting things. If a function is differentiable, it has directional derivatives. At x bar in any direction v,
I just remember that when we consider a direction to be just a vector of with unit north,
and moreover, if you dig the proof, you find out also that the directional derivative of f in the direction v at the point x bar is equal to the differential of the function f at x bar computed in d. Okay? In my lecture notes, you find the two-line proof. The two-line proof is just you take the definition of the derivative, you write the limit of the incremental ratio, you exploit this formula, you do two algebraic operation, and you take the limit, and you get this one. Okay? I don't bother you with the proof. You can check it. But what is relevant to us is this. Okay? Directional derivatives are nothing that can be computed by the appropriate, by computing an appropriate linear function in the direction which is considered. And third, the most relevant of the properties, we do know this L. Okay? The definition says there exists a linear function, so there exists a vector L such that. Okay? But we can prove, we can know what vector it is. Okay? Indeed, the third property says that L is exactly this function. The vector of coefficient is the gradient of f at the point. The gradient, I recall you, is the vector whose components are the partial derivatives. Okay?
This, I would say, is the core of.
Actually, this is the point which is, let's say, not hard, but more challenging to prove. And then this is just an application of the property of the linear function. No more than that. But when you prove that there exists directional derivative in each direction, then you take the vectors EI, the canonical, the vector of the canonical basis, and you get the existence of partial derivatives. So the gradient exists. And the gradient exists, and it is what gives you the differential. Okay? This is the important part. So actually, we can restate the definition now. As a consequence of what we have, we can simply restate this, replacing this general linear function which has to exist with its form. So we can put here the gradient times b, because it is computed in b, plus the reciprocal.
My question is that the differential of f is the derivative. It's equal to the derivative.
But pay attention. The fact is that you are dealing with several variables.
So that the
depends what. No, total derivative is something a bit different in a different context, okay? The differentiable is what you would like it to be, okay? It's the linear function given by the gradient, okay? What you expect. We found out that having so pay attention, there is this small but very meaningful difference. You can have the directional derivatives, you can have the partial derivatives, but the function may be not differentiable. Okay? If the function is differentiable, then what you expect turns out to be true. Okay? That you can use the partial derivatives. But not vice versa. Okay? This is something that generally is given is left unsaid to students in computer science to do some computational mathematics, or in some areas of computer science which exploit these tools. They say, okay, function is good when you have the partial derivatives, and the partial derivatives are just take all variables as a parameter except one. And you take the derivative as if it were a function of that variable only. Okay? Okay, in practice it works that way. But the mathematics is different. Okay? You need something more. You need this. They don't tell you, but they are requiring this, not just the partial derivatives. Okay? And in a minute I'll show you an example to support what I told you. Okay? Let me first just think that this way of giving the definition is the core of calculus, and it's the Taylor formula. Okay? First order Taylor formula. We will use Taylor's formula throughout all the lectures.
Okay? It's the core concept to prove anything we want to prove about optimization problems. Okay? We want to prove optimality conditions, we exploit Taylor formulas. We want to build algorithms, more or less directly, we exploit Taylor's formula. Okay? You've seen it for function of one variable at your first undergraduate year. And once again, if we take V to be x minus x bar, Taylor's formula says f at x is f at x bar plus the gradient of f at x bar times x minus x bar plus the residual. Okay? This is another way you find Taylor's formula stated. Okay? Since this is any vector in Rn, you can take it to be this one for any x in Rn. Okay? Oh, when is it that the function is differentiable? How do we check it? Well, there's a result that tells you the following. Suppose that the function f has all at a given point as all partial derivatives. Okay, so the partial derivatives, as we defined them in the previous lectures, exist. Okay, not only they exist at the point, but they exist at every point which is close enough to x bar. Okay? If you take a ball of some radius around x bar, the partial derivatives at the points of the ball exist. Okay? First requirement. Second requirement is the continuity of the partial derivatives. What do I mean? I mean this function. A function which to any x associates the value of the partial derivative of f at that point. Okay? This is a way to see partial derivatives as a function. You are given the point and you make and you have the value of the directional derivative at the point correspond as the value of the function. This is a way to see them as function. Okay, so if these functions are continuous, at x bar, then f is differentiable at x bar. So, a sufficient condition to have differentiability is that partial derivative exists, okay, and if you consider them as functions, they are continuous at x bar. Okay? So, in practice, what can you do? You have the expression of your function. You compute the derivatives. You see which function they are. Okay? If you know they are continuous, you can say, okay, the function is differentiable. I give you the simplest example. A function of two variables. So x is given by x1 and x2, two components, and you take x1 squared plus x2 squared. very silly example. You take the partial derivatives, okay? The partial derivatives are 2 times x1 and 2 times x2, okay? To each x, which is given by x1 and x2, you associate 2x1 and 2x2, okay? These functions are continuous. Obviously, they are linear functions, they are nice functions. The best you can affect. This function is differentiable. Okay? Indeed, we call functions which have this sort of properties continuously differentiable. Okay? A function is continuously differentiable if it is differentiable at the point and the partial derivatives are continuous functions at the point. Okay? So, we will often require that the functions are continuously differentiable because we want to work with the derivatives and we want so the derivatives to be nice functions. Okay, I promised you an example. I will show you an example in which we have directional derivatives, but the function is not differentiable. Indeed, it will turn out that the directional derivatives, the partial derivatives, are not continuous. Is there any question? Please ask questions when you don't understand or when you have doubts. Don't worry to say silly things, okay? It's not a problem. So, once again, I will use n equal 2, okay? So that f of x can be considered f of x1, x2, which are the two components of x, okay? And the function is defined this way. The function is x1 squared times x2 over x1 squared plus x2 squared if x1, x2 is not the zero vector, okay? Because if they are both zero here, we have zero at the denominator, then function is not defined. And zero if x1 equals x2 equals zero if x is the zero vector. Okay? And we consider the point 0 as our x bar. Okay? Exercise for you. It's a simple computation. The directional derivative is the limit as t goes to 0 of f at x bar plus t times t minus f at x bar divided by t. Okay? In our situation, f at x bar is 0, so this is 0. This is 0 as well, so you are making this. Okay? And this is the vector whose components are t times v1 and t times v2. You substitute, you divide it by t. Okay? And what you get is the following thing. V1 squared times V2 divided V1 squared plus V2 squared. Now, since V is a direction, it has unitary norm, so this is 1. Okay. Oh, this quantity does not depend on t, so the limit is d1 squared plus d2. Okay. So this is the value of the directional derivative. Directional derivatives exist. Okay. Now, let's compute the partial derivatives. The derivative with respect to x1 at x bar. Okay, it's just taking the vector d as 1, 0. So, this is 0. Okay, now take the partial derivative with respect to x2. Okay. So the vector d is 0, 1. This is once again 0. Okay? So this is 0 again. The gradient of f at x bar is the 0 vector. Okay? This gives you that the function is not differentiable. I erased it, but I recall you that the directional derivative of f at x bar is the differentiable computed in V, and the differentiable is the gradient times t, if the function is differentiable. Okay? Suppose that this function is differentiable. The gradient is the zero vector. The directional derivative should be zero for each direction. But this is not true, because if you take any direction such that d1 and d2 are not zero, the directional derivative is not zero. You take d, the vector 1, 1. The directional derivative is 1, and it is not zero. If the function were differentiable, then the directional derivative would have been zero. Okay. So this is an example in which you have directional derivatives, but the function is not differentiable. So we cannot apply Taylor's formula, for instance. Okay? So if someone tells you, okay, this is true whenever you have partial derivatives, This is false. This is a mistake. Okay? Maybe you must be unlucky to be in that situation, but it may happen. I leave you an exercise. The solution is in the lecture notes. Compute the derivative. The partial derivative with respect to x1 of x at a point which is not zero. Okay? You just have to take the derivative with respect to x1 of this ratio. Okay? It's a computation you have to take. So x1 is here and here, it's a ratio, you have to apply the usual rules for the derivative of a ratio, and you come up with a formula. Then take the limit as x goes to 0, and you will find that this limit is not 0. Okay? Actually, you will find that the limit does not exist. Like the example I showed you last week, in which the function was constant along parabolas. This function will be constant along the lines, and the values will be different, and it will be, let's say, on the diagonal, you will find that the function, that the derivative is always 1/2.
1/2? Yes.
1/2. But in 0, it has to be 0. So the function is not continuous. Okay? Indeed, if the function were continuous, we would have that property that would guarantee that f is differentiable. Okay? So, but this was just to tell you, be careful. The existence of partial derivative is not enough to have the good Taylor formula. Okay? You need differentiability. Questions? Remarks? Any doubt? Is it clear? Okay, I have a couple of tools which are useful. Then we make a break, and I will ask the personnel to give us light back. We have a couple of theorems which are useful. The first one is the so-called mean value theorem. Which is the counterpart in several variables of the theorems of Rolle and Lagrange. So, theorem mean value. We will not exploit it as much as the Taylor formula, but somehow, sometimes it will be useful. Okay, so this theorem requires that f is continuously differentiable. At the given point, x bar. Okay? Now, let's say it's continuously differentiable at every point on the full space array. Okay? It's better, it's easier. Now, if I'm given any x and b in Rn, okay, I can tell you exactly how the value of f at x bar plus b. Okay? Taylor's formula tells you is this quantity plus a residual. Okay? Here I give you the exact value. And the exact value is the value of f at x bar plus the scalar product of v with the gradient of f computed where? Not in x bar, but otherwise it would be this, okay? But in x bar plus t times v, where t is some point, is some, sorry, value between 0 and 1. Okay? So the formula, the theorem formally states, given x and v, there exists a value t between 0 and 1, such that this formula holds. Okay? Geometrically, as t goes from, if t is 0, this is x bar. If t is equal 1, this is x bar plus v. So, as t goes from 0 to 1, we are going along this segment. Okay? So the theorem says there is a point in this segment such that this formula holds. So it says, well, Taylor's formula gives you a residual. But if you don't compute the gradient in x bar, but in a point of this segment, then you have no residual. It looks much better. What is the weak point? The weak point of this result lies here. There exists t, okay? And we don't know the value of t, okay? So this is a theoretical result, a result you can use in proofs, but you cannot use it in practice, okay? Because you don't know t. If you look in a book of calculus, what you will find is, you will find the proof, and the proof is an existence proof, not a constructive proof. It does not tell you how t is done or how you can compute t, okay? Up to my knowledge, there is no way to compute t, okay, in a generic form. Of course, if you have f, a specific f, you can look in at the function, you can try to guess, okay? You substitute and you find the right value for t. But it's not possible generally, algorithmically, to compute this two. Okay. So this is the reason why we will use the mean value theorem a few times in the lectures for proving results, but in practice, Taylor's formula is much more useful. So I would say we stop it now. I still have another result to give you on differentiability. But it's better if we take a break and I ask the lady to give us light back.